interceding for the future generations, not just of today. Yeah. So encourage you all to stretch. Everybody stretch. Yeah. Stretch. Yeah, that's so good. Stretch is good for you. So yeah, so and it's always good to remind ourselves that this comes once a year, so it's not a big surprise, like it doesn't creep on you or anything like that. There's no sneaking capacity that happens, and so, you know, prepare and start praying for that. Just a couple of quick things before I preach God's word this morning. We do have the women of Impact is having When Women Worship. Okay, that's Friday night, the 27th of October. I want every woman, every girl, to come to this night. It's going to be an amazing night. So I don't know if you probably don't know who Jenny Gilpin is, but she is the wife of Dave Gilpin, which we will also have on Sunday, the 29th of October. So that will be a good thing. Now, who knows, when women worship, powerful things happen.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that men don't, but when women worship, there's something tangible that happens, and I really encourage you to be here. Yeah. Jenny has, she's got an amazing testimony. She's come from humble beginnings, and she's turned that testimony into a message that will encourage each and every one of us here, and that also is in line of what we're doing as a church with women outreaching out in our community. So that's going to be an awesome night. So please make sure you are here. Please, our team is actually going to go around. So make sure you just say yes, you're coming. You don't have to pay anything, okay? And there'll be food. So that's also a good thing. Now, talking about food, Food Outlet is also open straight after the service. So please avail yourself of that straight after the hospitality. Well, I'm going to preach the word of God today now, and it's 9:55, so we're going to do this quickly and intentionally, and I have the privilege of continuing on part three of Good Karma. Good Farmer. There you go. Already.
That's karma.
Okay. See, this is the thing. Like, we've all heard about karma, right? And it's a philosophy that comes from Hindu, and a lot of people actually use that ideology or philosophy in their life and operate in that capacity. But for us, you know, karma comes from law of cause and effect, and what goes around comes around. But for us as believers, as followers of Jesus, we don't operate in that ideology. We don't operate on that principle. You know, the Bible teaches a similar principle, or truth, and it's called seed time and harvest, the law of sowing and reaping. Now, the law says that that we reap what we sow. So our thoughts, our attitudes, our habits, our choices, our words, they're all seeds that determine our future outcomes in life. So right now, each and every one of us here today and even online, you are sowing seeds for the future outcomes of your life. We may not be literal farmers here this morning. Who's a farmer here? No? Okay, there's no literal farmers here, but we are all farmers in a spiritual sense. So we have a responsibility to farm well.
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, farm well.
Farm well.
Farm well. You know, I've observed, being a leader for quite some time in church life, is that I've observed through the times that people kind of are surprised by an outcome or a harvest they've received in life, and not knowing, and I feel victimized by it, right? But not knowing that maybe that they have contributed to the seeds that were sown.
Right.
You know, they feel like, oh, you know, well, why did I get this when I didn't sow that? You know, but if you look and reflect, that the things that may have happened, I'm not saying this in concrete, but that because that you may have sown a seed towards that. So, you know, there's this kind of like this victim mentality and the blame game that goes on. And you just got to know that what you sow now is the harvest that you'll reap tomorrow. So week one, we talked about how important it is to not allow a challenging season and circumstances to hinder us from sowing good seeds. And it's an encouragement for all of us not to hold back. And that you've got to sow no matter what circumstances we have in life. And then week two, we talked about seeding your future. You know, we don't just want to seed our future. We don't want to just see our future, but we want to seed it. Yeah. Okay, you can't just see things, oh yeah, I envision that this is what's going to happen, whatever. But if you don't sow anything, that's not going to happen. There's no result. So we got to not just see the future, we also got to seed it. So today's harvest is from yesterday's seeds. Tomorrow's harvest will come from today's seeds. So these two thoughts combined are what we're talking about in this series called Good Farmer. So don't hold back. Seed your future. I want to just pray this morning. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your word this morning. Thank you, and I pray for that every heart, every soil, Father, of their heart will be receptive this morning, Lord God. I pray for just an open heart, Lord Jesus. And while they may hear my words, Father, I pray that they will hear your voice. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that every voice that doesn't come from you will be shut down in Jesus' name. Lord, that every mind is receptive, that every heart is open, the Lord, to hear your word this morning. Amen. Amen. So Ecclesiastes 11:4 says this: farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Verse 6 goes to say is this: plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. So let me ask you a question, church. Why do people hold back from sowing good seeds? Let me find a question. Why do people hold back from sowing good seeds? Why do you hold back from sowing good seeds? Let us make this personal. So is it because of difficult seasons in life? Seasons of loss and grief? And, you know, maybe shame? Maybe there's guilt. There may be, you know, there's just other things that happens why people don't sow seeds. So I want you during the week to reflect on that. Why don't I sow seeds, good seeds? Because remember, we always will sow seeds no matter what. People that wait and watch for perfect conditions never sow or reap what they want. If you hold back, the desired harvest will not come. Sow and work for what you want no matter what. So there's this thing that I want to say to you that today is that there is a harvest in your future, good or bad. We can't control every harvest or outcome, but we can consistently sow good seeds into our lives and the lives of others. These seeds can actually and potentially produce a rich and rewarding harvest. So if you're a believer here today, and your life is surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, our now and our future is framed by God's kingdom. And that's what I love about it. No matter what has happened in my life in the past, now, because I am in church and I'm sowing good seeds, that now my life, your life, is now framed in God's kingdom. You know, so when we believe in Jesus, we become citizens of his kingdom. In the world We're in the world, but not of the world. So our lives belong to the King and His kingdom. So I want to encourage each and every one of us today that we are, that we need to be a people whose mindset is about the kingdom. Let us not be a me kingdom. Let us not be just a me, 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 self, self, self. But let us be kingdom minded in everything that we do, in everything that we say. Let us be kingdom minded. Matthew 6:33 says, it's not on the screen, but it says is that, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? You know, I want you to just seek Him first. You know, when we talk about the kingdom of God, it's like there's a different fields of our lives. And I want to talk about that today. The fields of our life are some of these things. Your soul. And that is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your relationships, that comes from family, friends, connections, and community. Your finances, it's all about, you know, material world, you know, the online shopping and things like that. Your body, right, is your physical self, your health. Your life work, okay, that could be your job, your career, your purpose, your life's calling. And your faith, your personal collective, your personal faith, our collective faith as a church. So when I list all that, I want you to know and imagine that these are the fields that you are responsible for. That each and every one of us have that. That your soul, your relationships, finance, body, work, life work, and faith. So these are the fields that God has given us to sow seeds into. This is what we are responsible to develop. It's not everyone else's responsibility. It's your responsibility. There is where our life harvest flows from. This is where we sow and reap from. These fields are all interconnected and interrelated. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But these fields that you want to sow into, they don't happen by default. They happen by design. A full and balanced life is a blessed life in each of these fields. So I want us to reflect for a moment. Let's recap what seeds have we sown this week that will produce a harvest. You know, I don't want this sermon just to be a learned sermon for you or a hear sermon for you, but I want you to live this, okay? It's not about just learning, but living it. So I want to ask you a question this morning, and like, just don't sit there and think, oh, yeah, no. No, I want you to really think about this, is that what seeds have you sown this week? Just say this week, seeds of connection. Seeds of contribution and seeds of community. You know, these seeds that I've just talked about, they require intentionality. We went to a workshop the other day for church, and one of the things that was mentioned that we're all full of intentions, aren't we? We're all full of intentions, but not enough intentionality. And I'm done with that. Like, I have done, like, can I just say and be vulnerable with you this morning? I write down a lot of intentions. Yep, do this. I'm like one of these people that like have like a list, a task list. And I go, yep, this is what I'm going to do. And I tick, tick, tick. Let this, and over time, like April comes, you know, June, July, and like, where am I? Yeah. You know, and it's like, over time, we're full of intentions, but not intentionality. So let us encourage yourself. Okay, don't put something that you're not going to be intentional about. Yeah. You know that legacy? Don't put something on an envelope to impress people or even to impress yourself, because you're not going to impress God anyway. He knows what you put in there. But you're not going to be intentional in putting it in. Yeah. You're not impressing us as pastors. Yeah. Like, put what God has asked you to do and just leave it at that and be honorable and intentional of that. Yeah. I know things happen, okay? I'm not having a go at you, but things happen in life and that's fine. And, you know, it's better to under-promise and over-deliver. Yeah. And that's a good thing. So when we surrendered our lives to Jesus, we give the lordship of our lives, our fields, from self to God. Surrendering to God doesn't mean you'll always get it right or you'll be perfect in any way, but it is an intentional decision to let heaven rule your heart and your life. Proverbs 24:30, and I think Pastor Tony mentioned this last week, is that I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and a stone wall was in ruins. Goes on to say, I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. And this was the lesson. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come to you, on you like a thief, and a scarcity like an armed man. When you look at that and imagine that, what a sad picture. It's a sad picture how some people live life. You know, you have all these fields that we've talked about, and it's full of potential. But then what happens is that if we leave it and not intentional about it, then the fields can get overgrown with thorns and weeds and broken down walls. No seeds sown and no work done.
Yes.
This man that the Bible talks about has squandered his opportunity in life. Nothing of value grew in his fields. He just said, oh, okay, sarah, sarah. You know, don't be that man. Don't be that man. Don't be that person. Don't squander the field that God has given you as an opportunity to live life. This is not the future harvest we want, not the future harvest we have to have. So don't let it. We don't want an ugly harvest. We want our lives to matter. We want our future harvest to matter. We want to leave a legacy worth having.
Yes.
And, you know, talk about the legacy before, and I think Pastor Tony touched on this like last week where he was in the Philippines and Pastor Welly Sr. has actually sown the seeds that's now become trees for others to enjoy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what a legacy. So can we sow seeds that not just for the now, but for the future generations to come? And so, you know, remind each and every one of us that we are responsible for our seed, and the seed is in our hand.
Yeah.
The seed is in our hand. Leviticus 26:3 says this. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you'll eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. This is the type of field that we want. This is the harvest that we want. And you know, when you align, when you and I align our things with God, God's work life out for us. You know, you don't need to worry. Like if you, like I was saying today, build God's kingdom and he will build yours. You know, build God's house, he will build your house. Deuteronomy 28:1 says this also, is that if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. So God lifts our lives when we live in alignment with his lordship.
Yes.
It goes on to say in verse 3 that we'll be blessed where we live. blessed with many children, verse 4, and productive fields and herds. Verse 6 says, blessed wherever you go. Verse 8 says, blessed in everything you do. Verse 11 says, blessed with an abundance of good things. Right. Who wants good things?
Come on. Yeah.
You want good things? Well, you fully obey the Lord your God.
Yeah.
And carefully follow his commands. You know, half obedience is not obedience. Partial obedience is not obedience. If God tells you to do something, though it's hard, follow it. Because there's always a reward, a harvest that you will reap from that. So today, I want to give you three keys to seeding a blessed future. You ready? Okay, number one. Seed your future heavenward.
Right. Yeah.
What I mean heavenward is that seed your future theologically through God's eyes.
Yeah.
It's all about God's perspective. There's a quote that I want to read to you very slowly so that you can get it. It says here, he who knows not and knows not, he knows not is a fool. Avoid him. He who knows not and knows he knows not is a learner.
Yeah.
Teach him.
Yeah.
Did everyone get that?
That's great.
Are you kidding? He who knows not and knows not, he knows not is a fool.
Wow.
Avoid him. Sometimes says, banish him. You know, he who knows not and knows he knows not is a learner. Teach him.
Wow, wow.
You know, in life, and I'm sure many of us, I want to personally journey with learners.
Yeah.
These are the type of people I want in my world.
Yeah.
We learn when we journey with learners, not some person that think they know it all and they don't really know it all, because really they're a fool.
Yeah.
Learners have all kinds of wisdom. Learners are all about sharing and thinking.
Yeah.
Learners are about seeking wisdom.
Yes.
Learners seek conversation and understanding. The wise seek God's mind on matters. How does God see this? You know, there's a plethora of opinions and views on every matter in our world, right? You know that. But do we stop and think, what does God think about this? Because see, if you're a follower and we are a follower of Jesus, you've got to ask him, who am I following? Am I following the voices of the world? Or am I following the voice of the one who set me free?
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes we get caught up and just follow on what we hear or see on the latest trends of things. Could it be TikTok, social media? I don't know, what else is there? Instagram and all of that sort of stuff, and YouTube, and you'll see all these people that are just prattling on about stuff that they think they know, but they don't really know. You know, and they're just fools. Sorry, I'm just going to call you out, because where did you get that from?
Yeah.
So, can I say this? Can we not lower God's theology based on our experience?
Yes. Yeah.
Don't lower God's theology based on what you think you have experience, because that's not God's theology at all.
Yes.
Sometimes we go, okay, well, I've sown seeds, you know, I've just tithed, and you know, but still I'm living poor, and you know, I don't have anything. Like, but hang on, did you actually follow the full principles of that? God's word, you know, you can't negate something like just because you're not being practical. You've got to sow good seeds.
Yeah.
Isaiah 55:8 says this, right? When we talk about seeding your future heavenward. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For as just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So there it is, God's ways. God's thoughts are higher than what we think. So we got to seed our future heavenward. 1 Corinthians 2:16 also says this: "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You have the mind of Christ. Let us be people that seeks to know God's voice and opinions on the matter. Seek to know God's truth on everything. You know, some people may say, "Well, the Bible is not relevant for today." I've heard that said. You know, "Well, where can you find that?" Well, you may not, the Bible may not say exactly the word that you're saying, but can I say that everything that we're experiencing now, it's in here.
Yeah.
It's relevant for today. It's not an archaic book that, you know, that it's not relevant. It speaks. You just got to open it. You can't get an answer if you don't open the book. So it's relevant for today. It doesn't give, you know, it may not say the things that are perspective on how you say it, but God says it's in there. So God's word is full of wisdom and instructions for life. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: "All scripture," when I say all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Has anyone actually read the Bible and saw something and said, "Oh God, this is wrong. There's something wrong in my life. I need to fix that." So like God is saying that it's useful. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. I've been caught a few times, so. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So our belief system for life is founded on God's word.
That's right.
Not the culture of this world, not the ideology of this world, not the opinions of this world, not the pop, not the politicians' political view, not what they say or what they think, but what God says. We seek first the kingdom way, higher than our ways. We submit our lives to kingdom, to kingdom's ways and his will. So I know it's October, and in a couple of months' time, the calendar for 2024 is about to open up. Like, I'm always like thinking, "Oh man, like what's next year?" You know, planning for 2024 personally and as a church collectively. And you got to wonder, I said, no, before I put anything down, I'm going to seek his will. God, what would you have me do next year? What would you have our church do next year? Because see, you know, it's always good to have good ideas.
Yeah.
But we want God ideas. So I want to encourage you to not put down on paper your preferences or your perspectives. But seek God's will, God's ways. He'll tell you, because it says that his ways and his thoughts are higher than yours. Proverbs 16:3 says this: "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." This is seeding your future heavenward.
Right.
Number two, seed your future holistically. I tell you, I'm going to say it all in H's because that's how I work. You remember it. So first is heavenward. Second, seed your future holistically. And what I mean by that is this. Holistically means is that each field of our lives, which is what I've talked about before, is interconnected and interrelated, and that makes us who we are. So this is that list again. Our soul, our relationships, our finances, our body, physical health, life, work, and faith. You know, each field relates to each other. A rich life is one that builds each field. You can't work on your finances, right? And then leave your relationships out. You can't work on your body and go to the gym and do all sorts of things and leave your faith out. It just doesn't work. It's imbalanced. So if you look at the scale of your life, it's got to be balanced. You can't just sow in one area and leave all the other areas because it'll go like this. So we want to balance life in all of those things and sow seeds in each of those fields. When your soul is strong, your life is healthy. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and emotions. So if you sow seeds, good seeds for your soul, then your life will be healthy. Your relationships will be strong. Your finances will be healthy. Your body will be healthy. You know, you can I just say about your body, because I'm like, I'm on this health kick at the moment, but, you know, I'm trying. But you can only go where your body will take you. Like, I thought, like, you know, oh, on Friday night. Oh, can I give a shout out, by the way, to all the youth and young adults? They had a big night in, right, on Friday night. It's amazing. Like, there's, what, 49, 50 kids here jumping up and down, playing all sorts of games, and it was fantastic. And, like, and I was, in the end, I was rolling down something, like, trying to squash the jumping castle, and my goodness, I was out of breath. And like, I was thinking, oh man, this is not good. But, you know, can I just say that they have sown good seeds?
Yeah.
You have sown good seeds. And, you know, you may not see that now, but in the future to come, you've just started.
Yeah.
Okay, and it'll grow. It'll grow. And so, yeah, so your body can only take you, or you can only go where your body will take you. So can I just encourage everybody? You know, I know we're always thinking, oh, you know, it's all these body thing, the gym and eating properly, whatever. Sow seeds in that, you'll be good.
Yeah.
When your life work is strong, then your purpose is strong, then life will be healthy. Yeah. When your faith is strong, your church is healthy.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you are the church.
That's right.
So if your faith is strong, and each and every one of us here actually carries each other's burdens, you know, when someone is down, you lift them up, and it's a good habit to have, to seed. So think holistically about life. Sow good seeds in each field. The third and last one that I want you to know about is this, is that we need to seed our future habitually. This is a really good one. Habitually. Habitually means continuously, frequently, and repeatedly. Who's a coffee drinker?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give this illustration. I'm not a coffee drinker myself, but I'm going to give this illustration because I think it covers more people, right? So if you're a coffee drinker, what do?
Drink coffee.
You drink coffee, okay? Morning, afternoon, and night. Is that right? Little lunch and big lunch, right? So if you're a coffee drinker, you're like hardcore.
Yeah.
You don't one of these coffee drinkers that just go, oh yeah, once. That is not a coffee drinker. Okay, that is like, sorry for those people who use decaf, you're not a coffee drinker. Okay? Don't kid yourself. But you drink coffee habitually. You drink coffee continuously, frequently and repeatedly. Doesn't matter where your teeth goes brown, you just do it. You know? Well, you get one of those, you know, toothpaste that makes your teeth white, I don't know, like, whatever, but it's not, can I just say, in all seriousness, right? Coffee drinkers. It's not what you do occasionally. Or spasmodically. It's what you do continuously, frequently, and repeatedly. It's what we do habitually. Seeding good seeds habitually means you have strong habits. And while we're on the topic of gym and eating plans and all of this sort of stuff, you know, can I say that discipline will take you places motivation can't? Discipline will take you places motivation can't. You know, when you do your meal plans and, you know, full of good intentions, but you've got to be intentional about it. This is what we do. It's not what you do like for 2 weeks. It's what you do week one, week two, week three, week four, week five, everything. It becomes a habit. I heard it said that it takes 21 days to foster a habit, so that's 3 weeks. But sometimes, you know, those habits sometimes fail, but you got to get up again. Don't punish yourself, but just get up again. Get up and do it again and again and again until it becomes a neuro pathway in your mind. I'm not condemning anyone, but I want to have another question for you, a pondering question to reflect. How many of you were in church last week? How many were you in church online? This is too harsh, right? But I'm calling you out. It's not what you do once a month. It's not what you do 2 weeks per month. It's what you do habitually. It's what you do continuously, frequently, and repeatedly. You know, church is good for us. Church is good for us because there are times, and I can tell you in my life, there'll be days where you don't want to go. It happens to all of us. It happens to me. I'll just roll over to Daryl and said, can we have to go to church? Man, I'm preaching, so I have to be there. But it is like, you know, like you just got to go, oh, this doona swallowed me up like really good. And it's just, oh, it's like raining outside and it's like cloudy. I just want to have a Netflix and watch Netflix all day. You know what I mean? Like it's just, or eat and binge on things. But that's not a habit. I'm not sowing seeds that will produce a harvest of good things in the future. But you know what? There are times that I don't want to go to Connect Group. Come on. But I can't because it's at my house. Tell them to leave it by 9 o'clock, but they're still there at 10. Like, you know what I mean? It's just... But you know what? I love people. Like, for those Gibbs family, you're online, I know. That's just thing. I'm just saying that it's good. It's good together. It's good to be in church. Frequently, repeatedly, and continuously. So can I ask about this? Be in church like you drink coffee. And if you don't drink coffee, that's fine. Whatever your thing is. Could be a tea. Could be chocolate. Oh, I don't know. Look, could be rice. I'm a rice girl, right? So be in church like I eat rice. Give tithes and offerings like you, whatever your deal is, but drink coffee. Build relationship like you drink coffee. Worship like you drink coffee. Don't hold back. Serve like you drink coffee. Can I ask each and every one of you to not hold back? Because I see people hold back in worship and then it's not like, hang on, I saw that person like jumping up and down last week and they're done. They're just folding their hands. I mean, seriously, what is that? You've got to be consistent in your worship. I know stuff goes on in our life. That's fine, and I'm not negating that. But you got to teach your heart and your mind and your emotions to just go, you know, no matter what, I'm going to sow seeds of worship. I'm going to go sow seeds of praise. And I'm going to do that because it's good for me. It's good for me. Make seed sowing your life habit. I've lost it now. Yeah. Make seed sowing your life habit. Don't allow a hard, challenging season to hinder you sowing good seeds. Don't get tired of it. In your relational world, don't get tired of sowing seeds. Don't get tired just because they didn't, you know, respond to the seeds that you're sowing over time. Because let's say it, okay, and I'm going to be, not everybody's your cup of tea. You're not going to be everybody's friend. Yeah. Okay, but keep sowing. Yeah. Keep sowing good seeds. Because in due time, in harvest, you'll be a friendly person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to have friends?
Yeah.
Be friendly. Sow good seeds. Invite them for dinner.
Yeah.
Invite them to whatever you think. These are just practical things that we can actually do. Don't be isolated. Don't be a loner. Sow good seeds. In fact, I want to pray that there'll be a spirit of encouragement in this church.
Yeah.
That there's a culture in our church that's honorable. That values people, that we honor not just up, but we honor all around.
Yes.
We honor one another. We lift each other up.
Yeah.
We don't just do it once.
Yeah.
You're not generous when you do it once.
That's right.
You gotta do it every time. And if there's anything that I want you to know today is that you need to seed your future habitually. Psalm 126:5, and I'm going to close with this, is those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. And this psalm is particularly talking about God's people recovering from a hard season. 70 years, imagine this, 70 years in exile as slaves in Babylon. They finally got to sow their own seeds. They sow in tears, but not tears of sadness. It's tears of joy. Tears of joy because they are finally able to sow for their own futures. So can I say, don't hold back. Don't shrink back. Don't put your hand on the plow and then pull it out again. Serve, worship, give. Like everything in your life, all the fields in your life that we've talked about, do it habitually. They harvest with shouts of joy and singing. You know, there's always joy of harvest. The joy of harvest is worth the pain in sowing. The joy of harvest is worth the cost of sowing. The joy of harvest is worth the sacrifice of sowing.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you, church, don't be a starer.
Come on.
Don't be a spectator.
Yeah.
But be a sower.
Yeah. Right.
Be a sower. Don't hold back. Sow good seeds in every field of your life, heavenward, holistically, and habitually. That's my sermon. Can we all stand? Can we all stand, please? I'm going to give... what song are we singing? We're going to sing The Goodness of God. Yep, because you know there's good things. There's good things. Good things. Lord, we want good things. We want good things. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh my love, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
give Pastor Marichelle a big hand. Great word. Great word. To church like you drink coffee. Give like you drink coffee. Serve like you drink coffee. Worship like you drink coffee. Praise like you drink coffee. So good. You know, when God sets you free, like that verse that Pastor Marichelle ended with, when God set the children of Israel free after 70 years, they cried tears as they planted their seeds, because now it was for them. Can I just say that when God sets you free, He gives you patterns to work with, to bless your world. And that thought of holistic sowing is so potent. You can pray till the cows come home, but unless you sow, unless you plan, unless you put in the work and then fill it with hope and pray, the harvest ain't coming. It ain't coming. And those children of Israel, they knew it was coming, so they planted it and they cried. And then when they reaped the harvest, how sweet it was, how good it is to harvest abundantly. I want to pray for you today, because we're doing this series of sermon to really just bless people in all the fields of life. All the fields of life. I'm praying you'll get a revelation of this. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you today for the power of your word, for the power of the thought, for the power of the revelation. And I pray those light bulb moments would go off for every one of us today, Father, and we would sow good seeds. We drive out evil by sowing good. We deal with the weeds by sowing good. We deal with the negativity and the discouragement by sowing good. The answer is always in sowing good. And I pray, help us as we sow good in every field of life, because that's the key to seeing the blessing and the favor and the goodness of God in our lives. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you for being with us today. If you're online today, thank you for being a part of our world today, our church today. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Hospitality's open. Food co-op's open. Take some time to build some community and connection with people today. God bless you. Thank you.